Hi, everybody. This is Mike Oppenheim, and you are listening to Coffin Talk, Interviews with the Living, a weekly podcast that explores how our views on death affect the way we live our life. And this week, we have someone who I've actually met because I was on her podcast. Her name is Jamie Lynn. She is a distinguished fourth-generation psychic medium, certified and tested for her exceptional abilities. Beyond her psychic gifts, she is also a medical intuitive energy healer, a clairsentience empath, clairvoyant, clairaudient, and a seasoned paranormal investigator with experiences in haunted locations such as New England and Gettysburg. She also has an MBA and is an alumni of Michigan State University. There will be plenty of links to find her and the podcast after the show, but let's just cut to the chase and meet Jamie officially on the air. How's it going, Jamie?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me, Mike. This is awesome.
Yeah, of course. I love your bio. And I know we talked about this on your show, but I love that you have an MBA and that you're all of the amazing things you are, because I think that throws a giant curveball into most people's stereotypes.
Oh, thanks.
Before we get into a lot of your life history and stuff, we always ask guests how old they are, where they're from, and what generation, if any, they consider themselves a member of.
Okay. I'm a member of the Generation X. I was born in the 70s and grew up in the 80s. So I'm an 80s kid. And I grew up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and then I went to Michigan State University, and then I lived in some really nice suburbs of Detroit, Michigan.
And now you're out in California, right?
I'm in California, yeah.
Awesome, which is where I grew up.
Right.
Having lived in all those different regions, which place, I'm not asking where people are the most, like, agreeable to psychic energy and psychics and the whole concepts of it, but more, where does your energy like feel it the most there, if that's possible to answer?
You mean like where would I get more things? Like,
yeah, like is New England like more, or is Michigan like that kind of? Yeah,
I would say New England, because it's, there's so much history there.
Oh yeah. I do think even people who are skeptical and don't believe in anything that you and I both do would still say they feel energy and they feel vibes, you know? So yeah. I feel like that's kind of where American culture is headed right now, is let's use synonyms and other words for a pretty universally accepted concept, which is energy.
Yeah.
So according to your horoscopes and all the information you have, is California like where you're supposed to stay? Or is it just a stopping point?
I don't know where I'm going to end up. Like, psychically, it's hard to read myself. I think I'll stay on the West Coast, probably.
Cool. Actually, let's talk about that for a little bit, because I think a lot of people would be dying to know that. Like, so you have this power, so for lack of a better word, ability maybe, and you're fourth generation, yeah, and you're comfortable with it, but it doesn't work as well on yourself?
I kind of, it's like what I want to happen is like, I don't, sometimes don't listen to my intuition, you know? So it's like, yeah. So it is what it is. I'm trying to learn, like, to listen to myself more, you know?
Yeah. What's a time where you did not listen to it and it really cost you?
Yeah. You know, I was engaged to this guy and he was like a serial cheater. And my gut kept telling me, like, he's cheating, like, you need to break up with him, but I really liked him and I invested a lot into him. And I just, you know, I think I just didn't want to believe it. Like, I didn't want to believe my intuition. But then I think the universe was like bringing people to me, telling me information, and then like me uncovering things. And it was really wild. So, you know, next time I'm definitely going to listen to my intuition. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. And then what about on the converse, like a time where it totally saved you?
Maybe getting into a car and then people got into a car accident, that kind of thing. I can kind of sense that sort of thing.
Yeah. And how does, and I'm not asking you to give a scientific explanation, but how would you explain the limitations to what you as a psychic medium can do? Well, let's just state it with psychic, not medium. What are like limitations that people probably don't think psychics have, or just like something you want to share on that subject?
You mean like limitations I might have, or
I think like as a child, like when I was five, I would think a psychic could literally look at me and say, okay, on October 30th, you know, 2016, you're gonna be in a Walmart in like Oklahoma, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to pinpoint exactly when, because like I can give you an example. Like, I had a cousin that was killed in a car accident, and I stood next to him on one Christmas Eve. It was a long time ago. And I knew, I could feel his soul was going to leave his body. And I couldn't tell when it was going to happen. But like ever since like he died 6 weeks later. Okay. But like, I didn't know exactly when. And then it's like, it was really difficult, you know, cause I feel like I should have warned them, but then, you know, you wonder, like, people might not believe you, you know? So it is sometimes I can really pinpoint the time, but I think time is really linear. So I think that's kind of the limitations a lot of psychics have, because time isn't really real, right? Man created time and free will too. So
yeah. So like, if a soul is preparing to leave the body, this kind of like begs a larger question that I always like to ask people, who is, quote, air quotes, in charge, like the soul or the cousin, like, or is it one and the same? Like, who's making that decision?
I think with him in particular, he was on a really high vibrational level. I think he could have been a psychic, or I feel like he was more of a medium. So I just feel like we have different exit points in our lifetime, and that was probably an exit point he had, and he left.
Got it.
Yeah.
So do you think and you said it was in a car accident, correct?
Yeah, it was.
So do you have like a funny feeling, or do you think like even he like kind of knew that day? Like, do you think like, and maybe I'm asking, do all people or just him, since he was at a higher vibrational level?
I think he might have known. Yeah. I feel that. Yeah.
Cause sometimes I get that feeling that I'm just going to like kind of know. Yeah. I don't know. Like, it's
weird.
No,
I get it. yeah. Right.
Yeah. Cause I've definitely like never not gotten on a plane because I thought it was going to crash, but I've also like been certain that if I do things in a certain order or a certain way, I'm going to end up being in like a bad situation. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I sometimes see like six steps ahead how to get out of it.
Right.
Yeah. That's really interesting. So what is your favorite kind of client to have as a psychic? Meaning like, what kind of questions or what quests do you like to help people on the most?
As far as the type of client I like to have people that are open. I don't really like having people that question everything, like, oh, what do you mean? Or how could that be possible? It's like, just be open to it and listen to the messages that spirit's giving you. You know what I mean? You just have to be open-minded to think, open mind, open heart. And what was the other part of the question? I'm sorry, Mike.
Like, what your favorite kind of client is as far as like questions to field, or like what quest to help them on? You know, like I'm assuming a lot of people come to you for love. And
yeah, I don't mind love, but I don't like it when people get really obsessed with somebody and that's their whole focus, and they keep holding on and they keep ruminating about it. I don't think that's healthy. I really like working in more business or career type things. That's interesting to me.
That's cool. I've recently been kind of shifting my focus in life away from career, but like not ignoring it. It's just more that I'm starting to see that if I put my priorities differently, the career still is going to work out, but over prioritizing it isn't like very healthy for my personality.
Right.
So I am curious, like, is there a higher purpose for every human that isn't going to be a career, or do some people, is it one and the same? Like, do you have any information about that?
A higher purpose other than a career? I mean, yeah, I think we're all here for a reason, right? To help people maybe, or, even doing readings on someone's higher purpose, you know, that's, I like doing that. I just wanted to tell you too, I do like doing pet readings. I'm also a pet psychic.
Oh, cool.
Some people aren't, you know. I was at I've met Chip Coffey. He's a psychic. I met him in Gettysburg and he's really, really cool, but he doesn't do pet readings. Like, it's for some reason I'm very connected to animals. So I also like doing that, but
that's really cool. Do we just have different consciousness, or is it actually like a gradient, like level kind of thing where like humans do have like air quotes higher consciousness than a dog, for example?
I think humans have a higher consciousness than dogs. I mean, we're here to probably help them.
Because you used the word soul earlier, I'm going to use it. And I like that. I'm just making it clear to my audience.
Oh, yeah.
So is a human soul the same soul that would be in a dog, or are souls actually different to like species?
I think our souls the same. Maybe humans are in a higher vibration than an animal. Maybe that's what it is.
So if you're doing like a psychic reading on a pet, what would be the chief aim in that role, since you're not going to be able to use language to convey something to them?
Usually the ones I do is like pets that have passed away. So it's just like, they'll come and give me information, like, that kind of thing. Like I have someone in the family that's in the veterinary field, and I told him he put and I hate to say this, but it is what it is. He put an animal to sleep because it was dying. You know what I mean? And it had to happen. So, but it was like I was talking to that person that day, and I said, "Will you put this cat to sleep?" And I described the cat, and I, you know, the age, the name, and what it, what kind of health ailment it had. And then the family member kind of looked, and his eyes just about popped out of his head. He's like, "There's no way you wouldn't have known that." He goes, "I've only treated maybe 1% of cases in the last 20 years of being a veterinarian. There's no way you could have known specifically what this cat died of, because it's very rare." So, you know, stuff like that. It's kind of interesting. Yeah.
And that is kind of where I did want to go next with my line of questioning, is kind of into the, like, the story of Jamie Lynn recognizing she's a psychic and a medium, and then becoming not just a person who has that ability, but a person who actually has services to help other people with it. So I know that's a very long story, but, like, what was, like, the first significant experience you had where you're like, "Oh wow, I'm doing this."
You mean, like, well, when I was younger, I could see dead people, you know, I was five and I could see it and see people. So maybe it first started out as mediumship, right? So it started out more mediumship, seeing, things that weren't there, that kind of thing. And then, you know, really, like in school, just kind of telling how people would feel about me. I had those feelings, but I kept a lot of this inside. I mean, I had this throughout my life, and then I met this girl in eighth grade, and we were best friends, and we kind of drifted apart now because she's back east, but her and I really, I don't think she was psychic. I think she was more of an empath, but, like, we would do readings on each other and practice and do, like, tarot cards and astrology, so it was kind of cool, like, connecting with someone at 13 or 14 that was interested in what you're interested in, kind of had some intuition. I think, I'm not trying to be arrogant, but I think mine was a little bit stronger than hers. But it, I think that's, finding a friend like that kind of made me open up more too. And then my grandmother too helped me open this up. You know, she would always talk about this kind of stuff. And I had a great aunt that read tea leaves on the other side of the family. So, and then one night, probably 10 years ago, I was in corporate America, and I just got kind of tired of it. I got kind of tired of the pressure, tired of what it stood for. And I just was sitting at my desk in silence, and a voice told me, "You need to do readings. You need to help people. You need to do readings." I think that was probably my guides telling me that. So, then I just kind of didn't look back. I just started, like, doing readings, like, publicly. I didn't want to have a website. I didn't really want to be out there, to be honest. I'm kind of a private person. And that's kind of how my grandma raised us. Like, don't tell people stuff about yourself. She was very private. You know, now it's like everybody's out in the open, but it doesn't bother me as much now. Like, I don't care if I have a website. I don't care if I'm, you know, in an interview or, like, here on the podcast, but, you know, I struggled with it in the beginning. But, you know, I said the heck with it. This is my calling. This is what I'm being told to do. And I have to do these readings.
And do you find, the year we're recording this, it's actually just now, January 8th of 2024, for people listening. I am noticing something. And so I'm going to project it and say it out loud to you, but feel free to vehemently disagree. But
okay,
I feel like the younger generations are kind of being primed to accept all this, and that it's not going to be the same, like, brutal thing where, like, so many of us are sitting in a corporate situation when we finally go, "Oh my God,
yeah,
that was not a waste, but that was a lot of years of my life where I was going with, like, the American plan."
Yeah, I agree with you. I'll tell you, it's interesting you're saying that. I do agree with you that the younger generation are opening up more to this because it's more out there now, you know, and I think it's with the internet and on TikTok, you see people doing readings and all that jazz. But also, it's kind of interesting on an astrological standpoint. Pluto is going into Aquarius on January 20th of this year, and it hasn't been in Aquarius for a very long time, I think since, like, 1776 or something. It's been in Capricorn since 2008. Wow. So Capricorn is kind of a regimented sign. So it's going to be in Aquarius for the next 20 years. It leaves briefly this fall for maybe 6 weeks, but then it goes in full time for 20 years until, like, 2043 or something like that. So I really feel like that's going to with Pluto and Aquarius, it's really going to open people's minds, and you're really going to see things, like a lot of things will be uncovered too. Truth is going to come out. Look at the Epstein stuff. Names are coming out.
Yeah.
So I really think that this is really a breakthrough, and and technology is just totally going to change the next 20 years. There's probably going to be huge advancements. So it's really going to open people up.
It's funny because people I don't admire but who have a lot of power and technology are talking a lot about like getting implants in people's heads so that we're like unable to lie to each other and communicate, Which to me is hilarious because it's kind of like, well, first of all, I used to read about Atlantis and that's what they say caused the downfall of it. But with that not being a part of my question to you, do you think that the world would be better if more people were in tune to their psychic energies and other people's energies, or do you think it would actually maybe be catastrophic or like, you know, harder for people?
Maybe it would be better actually.
Cool.
Yeah, because I'll tell you why. Right now I just feel like there's, I don't mean to be negative, but it just doesn't feel like there's any regard for human life like there used to be. It feels like people, I don't know, it just doesn't feel like it did, you know, 40 years ago or 30 years ago. And I don't know. I think maybe if they were tuned more into their intuition and their, you know, opening up their crown chakra and third eye, that we'd be more compassionate toward each other. That's what I feel.
Yeah. I mean, I do feel that. I feel it as a huge burden since I was a little kid, and I still have issues when like I just go out in public and it's annoying to me that people are skeptical about this, but like there's just vibes and energy everywhere, and there always has been and always will be. And yeah, and they don't feel great is what I'm getting at.
Is it skepticism or is it resistance? You know what I mean? Or is it a combination of both?
Yeah. Yeah. And do you have any predictions for like what's going to kind of happen this year or next year in like a larger trend? And again, I'm not putting you on the spot. I'm just asking if you do.
I feel like the economy is going to get a little bit better, not probably significantly. I feel like interest rates are going to go down. I feel like people are going to start to be more compassionate with each other, maybe starting this year, maybe in the fall. I feel like people are going to help each other more. And that could be because Pluto's going into Aquarius, or maybe just our mindsets changing. Because I feel like things reach a breaking point, and then it's like, you know, it kind of gets reset to zero again, you know, because I think we're kind of reaching a breaking point. But as far as predictions, you know, right now I'm seeing a volcano. So there could be some significant volcanic eruption this year. That's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing molten lava. Wow. I think there's going to be some more issues with airplanes. You know, if you heard about the flight, I think it was from Seattle or Portland to Ontario, California. I think one of the doors blew off. So I feel like there's more issues with that. And then I do feel that people are going to see more UFOs, or there's going to be more UFO activity this year and next year in 2025.
Wow. You said a lot of things, and I would love to comment on all of them, but I don't have time. But I will just say that I have been getting over and over and over again messages about airplanes. Like, just, it's weird because I don't consider myself psychic, and I don't consider myself a medium. I do consider myself like an intuitive and like aware, perceptive person, and I just get this feeling that like something weird is going on with air travel. Yes. Because there's just more and more stories about it. There was also like a plane that almost crashed somewhere else, and like just, it just seems weird. And it's funny to me because technology's gotten better, so you would think aviation is like much safer, and it probably is, but that was very striking to me when you said that.
Yeah, exactly.
And when you talk about like heading towards like a reset, and like I see that in my exam, in my understanding of social philosophy and history, you know, everything seems to be kind of in like rough 100, 120 year cycles, and like, you know, trends repeat. I'm going to tie that into the larger question, which we ask every guest on the podcast, which is, what do you think happens when you die?
Hey everyone, if you're a fan of the show, please head over to MikeyOp.com and click the subscribe button. It's the best way to support us, and it's free. That's MikeyOp.com. Thanks.
What I think happens when we die is our soul leaves the physical body. And I think we go to another dimension. I've heard that there's different levels when you cross over. I've heard that from my guides, and I've heard it from other people that have had near-death experiences. I feel like the energy is probably really different there. It's probably lighter. It's probably more loving. It's very dense here on Earth. And I also believe in reincarnation. So I do believe that you can come back.
Cool. And when you say can, is it always going to be a choice?
I feel like it's a choice. I feel like sometimes maybe if you didn't finish everything you were supposed to do, maybe in this life, that you might have to come back and experience certain things that were in your soul contract. That's what I feel. I did interview somebody on my podcast. They had a near-death experience, and he was told that if you're not a good person or if you're bad or hurt people here on Earth, that you're one and done. Like, God won't let you go back.
Interesting. I would think it was the total opposite.
Right?
That's very funny.
I know. Yeah.
Wow, that's really interesting. Thank you. I loved that answer. And I'm kind of curious because I feel bad saying this, especially on the air and where like my children could hear this someday. But like, I am not at all suicidal and I don't want to like take my life. But I'm also like not a huge fan of here, like Earth. It just has always felt oppressive. Yeah. So I'm curious, like why would a healthy, normal person such as myself feel that way? Because I made sure to say that word suicide because I want my audience to understand like it's not depression. It's just like a party that is not my vibe.
So, yeah, I get what you're saying. So you wonder if someone did do that, if they would come back?
No, I'm more curious, like, why do normal, nice, good people feel that way? Because I meet a lot of people like me who are, and again, I'm not trying to like bum people out or make it sound like I'm a happy man, but yeah.
No, I feel like maybe you're more sensitive to energies and maybe it's like, maybe you just don't want to deal with this, you know, you just want to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Because I'll be honest, like last week I was feeling the same way because over Christmas break, I was away in a more like secluded area with not a lot of traffic, kind of like in the wilderness, that kind of thing. And then I come back to the city and I'm like watching all of these people and watching the traffic and watching everybody rush around. And I'm thinking, like, who wants to be part of this? You know, so I do see what you're saying. It's really chaotic, you know, the energy. So I think we all need to figure something out and create a space that works for certain people that are light workers or empaths or some people that are sensitive, you know?
That's cool. Thank you. That was actually helpful. I do, because I feel bad when I start to, like, especially when I watch my daughter, because she's 2.5 and she's thrilled by everything. I mean, you know, she throws tantrums and gets upset, but like, everything thrills her. And I don't remember being thrilled when I was a young child. Like,
right.
I remember not being thrilled.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So it's like interesting.
Yeah.
And I feel like if I came to Disneyland, because you just said Earth is a selective place where that's why I thought of this, you know, like I get the feeling I wanted to come here. I get the feeling that I waited in a long line and I begged to come here and I had a whole plan. And now I'm here and I'm like one of those annoying people who's like at an amusement park and going, I don't want to be here.
Right. Exactly. No, I get it. I, for some reason, I've always been like this. If it's not working, have it work your way. You know what I mean? Try to build something
like
different so it feels good to you or other people that feel the same way. That's kind of how I am. Like, why stay in this? Let's try to see what else is out there. You know what I mean? That's kind of how I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe find your spot that works for you, you know?
Yeah. And I guess that's what I am trying to do, especially with starting a family. I think that was like all my life I wanted to have a family, because it does seem like you get to at least not control, but like, you know, it's your
of
family.
Of course.
You all make decisions together. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're a Cancer too. So.
Yes.
Cancers love family. They're very, a very nurturing sign. That's cool.
Being at home with my family. Definitely my favorite thing to do.
Yeah.
Cool. We're running out of time, but I always let my guests have the last word. So is there anything you didn't get to say or you want to say? Or is there any message you have for our audience?
Yeah. I mean, I really enjoyed being on your show, Mike. I think your show is awesome.
Thanks.
And I enjoyed having you as a guest.
Cool.
I just wanted to say that 2024 is an 8-year in numerology. It's supposed to be an abundant year full of prosperity. So if you're somebody that wants to make more money or be more abundant, this is a year to do it. And April's a very lucky month for money, especially 420. I know that's another green day, but it'll also be a green day for money. So yeah.
That's hilarious. I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's a perfect way to end the podcast. Well, Jamie, it's been wonderful to talk to you again. Everyone, again, it'll be very clear in the liner notes where to find her. But psychic medium Jamie Lynn is her name. She's distinguished. She has a long career. She does many amazing things. I was on her podcast, and you're also just very fun. And, you know, you're like, you're good at therapy, even if you didn't have everything else with it, because you're a good listener and you're an active listener.
I really appreciate you having me. Thank you so much.
Yep. Absolutely. It was my pleasure. And to everyone listening at home, this is the first podcast recording of 2024, an abundant year. So go out there and make it abundant, and maybe try to make it lovingly abundant with all your other fellow earthlings. Because who knows, if you don't do enough of it, you might not ever come back. And maybe you do want to come back and maybe you don't. But either way, you're here right now listening to Coffin Talk with Mike Oppenheim, and we will see you soon. Walking alone, walking alone, when I hear this song, and I walk into you, and you see that I do, and I see that you see me, and I see you hear this tune, and I feel that you're near me, and I sing you while the moon, and then I see that you see me, and I see you hear this tune, and I feel that you're near me, and I sing you are my moon. You are the moon.